bless him as he brings forth your word here today. Father, we rejoice in your presence. And Father, everything we've done up to this point, whether it was the singing or the instruments or even the children or the offerings, Lord, it's all an act of worship. But Lord, sometimes we forget that listening to your word is also an act of worship. And I pray now, Lord, that we would have a reverential heart, that we would sit and we would be ready to receive from our brother this morning. I know he sought your face. He sought your heart. And we pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would move upon him and through him and touch each one of our hearts. Lord, challenge us through this word this morning. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning, church. Once again, I would just like to start off by saying it is just such a great privilege and honor to be able to come up here and just share God's word with his family. Amen. The funny thing, though, is I know this time for sure anyway, without a doubt, that the word God wanted me to share, I know what it is. I felt good about it. I really had confirmation because it's actually something that I struggled with just recently. That's why it's so fresh in my mind. But I'm happy to say that I fought the good fight and I came out victorious with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. It's always great when you hear of us going through some trials and tribulations and to come out of it, you know, healthy, strong, more wiser, more mature for it. Amen? It just wells up in our spirit to say, yeah, another victory for the kingdom. Amen? So before I get started in this message, though, I kind of want to set the tone, if you will, by sharing a little story about myself that will lead us right into this message that God gave for us. So we're going to go back in the time machine a little bit. Bob, I don't want to hear no wisecracks, okay? You ain't got nowhere to speak. No room to speak here. But we're going back to the year 1969. Ooh. Hippie age. I was only eight. I was 8 years old in 1969. And what had happened was my dad had bought my brother and I an English racer. Now, Bob might know what that is. Jerry King might know what that is, but probably a lot of you don't. It was like the same thing as a 10-speed of today. So anyways, we had these bikes, and, you know, we were like the kings of the block. It's like, man, look at these brand new bikes we got, you know. And one of my sister's friend, her name was Jamie, she wanted to ride the bike. Well, I told her, okay, well, on the back of the seat, I had one of those little piggyback seats that you could sit on. So she went driving me around the block. And I distinctly remember there was a Tigers game that day because I lived like 4 blocks from Tiger Stadium, right on 12th and Michigan Avenue. And the people there at that time, because there wasn't a lot of parking lots around the stadium, they used to actually park cars up on their grass, charge people a couple bucks to let them park there. So we were, Joe goes, yep, I remember that. So we were driving along, we came down the alley, and we were turning onto the side street. And I don't know what happened, but this car that was going up the curb, I guess he couldn't make it, so you know he went forward to get like a running start to go backwards, and when he came forward, he hit us. He didn't see us, he hit us. And we're laying on the ground, and the tire of the car, the front tire, was on both our legs. And we're just screaming like, get it off. The guy jumps out, he looks, he's like, oh my gosh. He jumps in the car, he puts it in reverse, and of course my bike was just demangled, you know. I remember they called the EMS. My mom and dad came running down the alley, you know, because one of the kids had told them that we got hit. It was only a couple blocks from my house. And anyways, thank God for the Detroit Police Department, because back then they had station wagons. And I don't know if the EMS couldn't get there fast enough or what, but I remember going to, what's that hospital right there on Michigan and Livernois? What is it? Ziegler. Yeah, Ziegler Hospital. We got took in there. And I remember in the car, when I got into the car, we're driving away, I'm looking back at this guy picking up my bike, and the only thing I could think of was my bike. I'm crying like, look at my bike, my brand new bike. You know, so anyways, now move on a little bit forward. It's about 2 weeks later. I wound up breaking my toe, if you can believe that. My big toe was broke. So, you know, there's not much they can do for that. It's just got to heal on its own. So, right there, if you've been down to Tiger Stadium, a couple blocks away is that White Castle right there. Amen. That White Castle was just being built at that time. And if you can really remember, 75 there by Tiger Stadium, it wasn't even open yet. You know, they had just poured the concrete and everything, had the grass. Look at Matt, man. I'm old, right? Yeah, I'm old. So, but remember, I was only eight. I was only eight. I wasn't an adult like Bob. I was just eight. So while that White Castle was being built, you know, we would go over there, right? We were poor, right? So we saw these cardboard boxes, you know, that I guess they had the lights in or whatever. So we took those boxes. We went home. Believe it or not, we had crayons. And we drew on these boxes to make them look like dragsters. And so we actually jumped over the fence on the freeway because it was closed. And we would get in these boxes, and we would slide down the hill on the, you know, the grass on the side. We would slide down and race to the bottom. And this was our fun. See, this was our fun. So lo and behold, we're doing that. There was four of us. It was me and my brother and our two buddies that lived a couple blocks down. We were going down the hill, and one of them found a blank. You know, a blank? And we're like, hey, man, look. And we're, you know, what's the first thing in a boy's mind? Oh, let's shoot this thing. Let's see. But we didn't have no gun, right? So what's the next best thing? We found a big rock, right? So we're like, yeah, we're going to throw this rock down and blow this thing up, right? Yeah. So we were under the overpass of 12th Street. And the one buddy gets it. He gets the rock and boom, nothing. Next guy, you don't know what you're doing here. Give me that. He gets it. Boom, nothing. My brother's like, step aside, bunch of rookies. He grabs it. Boom, nothing. He goes, well, you give it a try. I said, all right. So I get it, right? I get that rock. Boom, man, that thing blows. I mean, it was so loud because we were under that bridge. I guess it echoed. We're all like, wow, man, that was cool, man. All of a sudden, I don't know where it came from, but a police car started coming down the freeway. This thing's supposed to be closed. You know, back then they just had that red bubble. And I distinctly remember turning, because we heard the siren. And he comes over the speaker. He goes, stop right there. Well, of course, you know, we stopped, right? Yeah, right. Now, I got to give you some kind of an illustration here, because remember, I'm the youngest, and I got a broken toe. And man, let me tell you, I was Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the world today, I would have beat him in a race. Man, I was going like, oh. Man, I was running up that hill. I jumped that fence. I just never looked back. I was just like, because we only lived like two blocks away. And behind our house, facing the alley, we had this shed made that was like attached to the house. Man, we all ran in that shed. We ran in that shed. We shut the door. And, you know, it was homemade, so it wasn't a nice seal. There was like a hole like that above the door and the door opening. We're all sitting there looking out the crack. Do you think he's coming? Do you think he saw us? Man, this happened. This happened probably, I'm guessing, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Brothers and sisters, we didn't come out of that shed till it was dark. We wanted to make sure that when we came out, we weren't getting arrested. And that's the only thought that was going through my mind. That and the fact that my dad found out, oh man. I think I'd have rather been arrested. But the thing is, we ran, right? Now, my message today is, we know we're talking about knowing God by submitting to His authority. I looked up the word submitting, and it says, to yield oneself to the power or authority of another, to defer to another's judgment, opinion, or decision. I also looked up the word authority, and it says, the power to determine, adjudicate, or otherwise settle issues or disputes. Jurisdiction, the right to control, command, or determine. Now, at that time, being 8 years old, that police officer, in my mind, he represented all authority, right? But because I knew that I did something wrong, and he told me to stop, what'd I do? I ran. I ran in fear. But the fact is, this has been happening since the beginning. This is what God showed me while I was doing this teaching. This happened in the beginning. If we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, God created Adam and Eve, what did he tell them? You can have any fruit, any tree in this garden except for that one. Just don't touch that one. Right? And what did they do? They touched the one. They touched the one, and then when God said, "Where are you?" What were they doing? Hiding. Just like me, hiding. In fear. It seems like we have difficulties submitting to authority. Amen? I mean, if we're honest, come on now. I mean, you could take on a daily basis, how many people here drive? Okay, now, all hands, and let's be honest, if you go over the speed limit, I don't care if it's 1 mile, raise your hand. Sharon, you keep yours down, sister. But that's a good thing, because she obeys. But we just, right? It's like, well, you know, it's the law, but is it really the law? I'm in a hurry, I'm running late, you know? But the fact is, we're not submitting to that authority. That's a state law that says we can only drive that fast. But we don't. Here's another example. Jonah. In Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3a, it says, and this is right out of the Bible, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And God said, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.'" And we see that Jonah said, "Yes, sir, I'm on my way," right? No. It says, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish." This happened to me, if you remember. See, this was really ministering to me, because it happened to me a lot. Only in my case, if you remember the story, it was Pastor Don saying, "Eddie, go to the Sunday morning class and teach it for me. I'm going out of town." And what did I do? I hid. When he saw me eye to eye, and he said, "Call me," I went. And I stayed in my house. See, I didn't go to Tarshish, but I went to my house. I didn't come out for that whole week, because I was trying to hide from that authority. Because it's something that I know I could trust God that he would lead me through, right? Like Alex was speaking this morning. Alex, that was excellent. But there's just something in us, that flesh, that doesn't want to do the things of God, that doesn't want to submit to authority. You know, we all know that the police are in the news almost daily, okay? And in some cases, the police officer may have overstepped his bounds. But in most cases, that police officer isn't just stopping you because he just wants to stop you. He only stops you because of what? You're not submitting to the authority, the law. That's why he's stopping you. And I'm not saying that every police officer is like Steve Shank, who's coming at you knowing that he has to do his job, but he does have the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him in every situation. But the fact of the matter is, they were put there, they were ordained to be there to uphold the law. And nobody seems to think of that. You know what I mean? Like that one poor man that got killed in New York, the fact of the matter is he was breaking the law and resisting arrest. So what? If we see somebody killing somebody, don't do that. And if he says, you know, the heck with you and leaves, what, we just supposed to let him go? There would be no law in the land. Amen? And that's why we need to submit to God's authority, because when he gives us or tells us to do something, it's not only for the benefit of ourselves, but more times than not, it's for the benefit for others. Amen? It's to bring peace and everything in every situation. James 4, 7 through 8a says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. We cannot allow our emotions, our attitudes, or flesh to rise up and seize the day without us calling upon the Lord for help. Amen? He's there. Like Alex was saying, you know, we were meant to walk on our feet, we're walking on our hands. And when we don't do things the right way, it gets tiresome on us. It gets burdensome, doesn't it? And then we feel like giving up. But God's just there saying, call on me. I'll help you. Hey, brother. Holy Spirit moving. Yeah, you know what? Donovan said this was Mount Everest, man. I look at it as Mount Sinai. I get to preach before the mountain of God. There's the Holy Spirit right there. No, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. God has given us that. That should never come out of our mind. We can think it like, ooh, I don't know, that's going to be a little challenging. But then in our next breath, we should be saying, but God is with me. His word says, if he's with me, who can be against me? Amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Nothing the devil can throw our way can overpower us. Amen? Amen. Now here's where it's going to get good. So I want to see some people twitching in their seat. Brittany. In some cases, it's just our own downright rebellion against the Lord that we choose not to submit to his authority. And the person that God put on my heart was Samson. Can you imagine that God gave this man the power? You know, when you read the story of Samson, it says, and the power of the Lord came upon Samson. The power of God came upon him. That he destroyed a lion with his bare hands. That he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Man, what power. I mean, we're talking about God here. You know? We're not talking about just working out and drinking energy drinks. We're talking about the Holy Spirit upon him. That he could kill 1,000 men like it was nothing. You know? And the thing that hurt my heart was, if you read the story, he was set apart at birth. He was set apart, like Alex was saying this morning, for the purposes of God. His life was not his own. It belonged to God. And we know what happened. You know, he got into bad living, bad choices. He wound up being captured and made fun of by his enemy, God's enemy. Right? But after he was there on that grindstone for all them years to ponder the mistakes he made in his life, I can only imagine what he was thinking chained to that wheel. But God gave him a chance to redeem himself. Amen? And thank God, because of Jesus, we don't have to wait all those years. If it takes years to get back where we need to be, it's our own fault. Because God's there. When Jesus died on that cross, and we're truly repentant, God wipes it away at that instant. Amen? At that instant, he wipes it away. Are we not also set apart for him? Listen, church, whether you believe it or not, God is intending great things for us to do in his kingdom. With or without us, we cannot stop the will of God from happening. I shared that story before when I first started coming to this church. I was sitting right next to Betty, I think, about two more spots over. And I heard the audible voice of God speaking like I'm speaking to you right now. And he told me exactly what to say. And wouldn't you know that fear came upon me, that doubt came on me, and I just sat there and took it in the house of my father. And because of fear and doubt, I didn't share that word. Do you not know that the moment that I got all tingly and I'm not going to say nothing, I don't want to say that, a woman over on this side stood up and said the exact same thing, word for word. We cannot stop God's will from happening. It can't be stopped. Nothing in our power can stop it. The fact of the matter is God just wanted to build me up, my spirit man up, to say, hey, I really can hear from God. I can be used by God. Instead, I allowed my flesh and the enemy to deceive me into thinking I couldn't hear from God. But we can hear from God, church. We can. It's just how bad do you want it? Right? Are we willing to put ourselves out there at any cost, knowing that I don't care, I'm doing it for Jesus? You know? 2 Chronicles 26 says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Nothing can stop God. Do we want to be in the game, or do we want to be on the bench? I know I want to be a player. I don't want to be a spectator. What's funny, church, is that we can come up with some of the most sincere excuses, can't we? This is where it's going to get personal. Come on, let's be honest with each other now. This is one of my favorites. You go up to somebody, you say, you know, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, blah, blah, blah. Like Bob approached me. and you see them say, hey, I'm part of the team. Yeah, I'm right there. I just don't want to do that particular thing that you want me to do. I'm part of the team, and I know you're asking me to do this, to step out of that comfort zone, but that's just not me. That's just not me. Well, don't you know that thing that they want you to step out in, that's the very thing God wants you to do. So there we are, not submitting to the authority again. Or we'll say, you know, you just don't understand. I'm an asset to this church, but I just can't be used right there. God wants me over here. Really? Where's the confirmation on that? I'd like to see some confirmation. You know? Romans 9, 20 and 21 says, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? It's God's will. It's God's will. If he's called some to do this and not you, that's his will. He has something else in store for you. See, because you got those that don't want to, and then you got those on the flip side that are doing everything except for what God wants them to do. That's what we call spinning your wheels and not moving. A lot of energy being burned up and wasted. It's a good thing. But that's not what God's called you to do. Okay, Roger, I'm sorry I lied to you. David. I had to sneak that one in there. David was all into, I got to build a temple. That's not what God wanted. He didn't want him to build a temple. You see? We got to get before the Lord and find out, what exactly do you want me to do today? That's why I love every morning when I get up for work, I put on that armor, Raquel. I put on that armor and say, God, use me today. Lead me in your spirit to be a witness to the unbelievers. Amen? Because they need a hope, brothers and sisters. They need a hope. Let me tell you, it's great. I love my job. I work for General Motors. I know Sammy works for Chrysler. I mean, they pay well. They have great benefits. But that is not my God. God gave me that job. God put me there for a purpose. Not just to make money and make a living. He put me there because, just like Jonah, he wants me to go there and minister to the lost. That's the sole purpose. That's the number one purpose. I just found out recently that my boss is a Muslim. I'm like, oh, God, man. You got a sense of humor, let me tell you. I love that. I can't wait to get to heaven, man. Like, God, you dirty dog, you, man. That was slick, man. That was slick. He put a Muslim in my life. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I thought to myself, Brian, that this was my punishment for not going out with you guys when you went door to door to all the Muslims. You know, here I was again, you know, not obeying that, submitting to that authority. Oh, no, that's not me, brother. I do one-on-one. I don't go door to door. So what does he do? He puts one right in the midst of me every day. Every day I see this man. So I got my work cut out for me, so keep me in prayer. What we need to do then when those excuses start to rear their heads up is to get into God's Word, amen? Pastor Don, let me repeat that, Pastor Don is always honest about reading the Word and memorizing scriptures that can help us with our weaknesses. That's where we get our power. That's where we get our strength. I call up Joe sometimes and he tells me, yeah, me and Alex are in the backyard having coffee, reading our Word. Man, that is awesome. That's just awesome. You know, I think of us, you know, a lot of us married couples here, then we need to take that time to do that. Because, you know once the day gets started, where's Allison? Sister, I pray for you every day. You know when that day gets started, your life is no longer your own. It's this one, that one, this one, that one, this one, that one. And when your hair is all frazzled and you're ready to blow up, Steve comes home. What's for dinner? Get a sandwich. I'm an addict. No, it can get like that. I know. Trust me, I know. But you know what? We need to take advantage of that. You know? There's some countries that if you're caught with the Bible, you're killed. Killed in this day and age. Killed. We ought to be thankful that we have the opportunity and the freedom to read God's Word wherever we want. Amen? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. God has ordained our pastors to care for us and has entrusted them to carry out His authority to lead us and protect us from the evil one and the world. Amen? And I'll be the first one to admit it, right before you, brother, that I don't like everything that comes out of their mouth towards my life. I don't. Amen. That was Bob Cassidy. But you know that if they're ordained, and I know without a doubt I'd risk my life on it, that they hear from God, and that's who God put over me, I need to listen to what they say. It's for my own good. Think of us as parents when our kids were small, right? And they start getting into them teen years where they think, hey, I know. I've been here long enough. I've been in this world long enough. Dude, you're 18. Shut up. You know what stupid things I was doing when I was 18? Oh, and you got it all, eh? What, are you going to look it up on the internet? Really? I know because I've been there. I've done that. I got dragged through the mud, and thank God that Jesus cleansed me on the other side. Amen. And I believe we get those victories in our life so we can share that with our children so they don't have to go through those hard times. Because God knows they're going to have their own hard times, amen? We all have different needs in the church. And I'm not arguing that. We all do have different needs. But we should all have one goal. Our goal should be the same. That goal is to become Christ-like each and every day by submitting to the authority of God, by dying to our own desires and seeking out God's desires. This will help us to know God better. We're speaking about knowing God. You want to know God? Submit to His authority. Submit to His authority. Submit to His leaders, and you'll get to know God better. Now, here comes a little test. And I'm going to be watching. Can I see by a show of hands, and I will ask you again, if I don't get a response, do we truly love God? Truly. Sharon, do you love God? Oh, okay. Scared me there. I say, Bob, you're out. No, wait a minute. You ain't out. No. You ain't getting out that easy, brother. 1 John 5:3-4 it says, This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Nothing in this world should keep us from God, from doing His will, from doing His purposes. I mean, God sustains the world, doesn't He? He created the world. He created us. How can anything stop Him? When He wants something for our life, it's for our benefit. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's awesome, isn't it? Seek out God. Trust in Him. Trust Him. I think of all the saints that did submit to God's authority that were blessed in life. Like Abraham. God told Abraham to leave his country and people behind and go to a land that He would show him. Abraham obeyed without question. Just without question. Up and went. And we all know what happened after that, right? It's all history. I mean, God made him the father of all nations. He was blessed beyond fathom. He got a son, right? He was even tested in that, and he prevailed. God called him His friend. Can you imagine that? Sorry, Roger. I think of David being a God after man's own heart. But Abraham was considered his friend. Man, that's awesome. And then there's Paul, who was blinded by the Lord and instructed to go into Damascus. Paul obeyed without question. And again, the rest is history. Now, that brother right there went through a lot. I was going to read that story where it tells everything he went through, but I'm sure we all know what he went through. He went through like a living hell. But the fact of the matter is, he submitted to the authority of God. And God used him in all those things to bring forth His glory, amen? And that's what God wants to do with us. And of course, there's Jesus. He was to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And Jesus obeyed. Thank you, Lord. And because of it, we can have eternal life with our Father. It doesn't get any better than that, church. To know that all the little sufferings that we do here on this earth can't even compare to the glory we're going to have in heaven. And Roger, I'm taking you right to David, man. I'm going to make you shake his hand and hug him. Can I have the prayer team come up, please? In closing, I would just like to remind you that God is not up in heaven looking to and fro for someone to devour. That's not God. That's the enemy. On the contrary, He is just a proud father wanting what's best for His children. He loves us that much. He loved us so much that he allowed His Son to be crucified for us. Submitting to His authority is not a burden, church. It's a blessing just waiting to happen. Amen? So my prayer is that we would seek out help if we need it, by getting into our word, my prayer. If you're struggling, we got plenty of leaders here, pastors, elders, deacons, that are willing to lay down their life and pray for you. Because that's our whole goal and purpose here. Is that we're a family. We should be able to trust one another, help one another, love one another without question. And even more so when God asks us to do something, we should be right to the front of the line. You know, I always said this before. I remember when Fosler was here teaching that one time. You know, he tells those more remarkable stories. And he talked about just barely making it into barely making it into heaven with my robe on fire. You know, it's still smoking. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to just barely make it. I want to be walking in, angels playing trumpets, you know. Dun, 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 dun. And then Jesus there with open arms saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. 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 So let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just, again, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word today, Lord. Father, my prayer for everyone here, Lord God, is that we would begin to submit to your authority, Father. Whatever it takes, Father God, bend our knee, Father God, to your will, Lord God. I pray that we would seek help if we need it, Lord God. Father, I pray that your heart would be our heart, Lord God, that we would be looking out to help others, Lord, before ourselves, Lord God. And Father God, that you would have your way in our lives, that you would bring us to that place, Father God, where there's no doubt that we just want to do whatever you want us to do, Father God. And I thank you. I ask your blessing upon your people, Lord God. Protect us today. Use us today to just share your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.